Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. We're talking about the role of transportation in building a regional economy between Milwaukee and Chicago during Project Milwaukee, Southern Connections. Before the break, we learned about the Aerotropolis concept being touted for General Mitchell International Airport. But how important could rail transportation, especially passenger rail, be in building a more regional-based economy? Many options have been proposed to link Wisconsin and Illinois from high-speed rail to extension of the Metro Rail North to the KRM, which would link Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee. But as of now, the only train between the two cities, that's Milwaukee and Chicago, is Amtrak's Hiawatha Line. But Bob Johnston thinks rail could be very important. Johnston is a correspondent for Trains magazine and has written extensively about the corridor. He spoke with Lake Effect's Dan Harmon about the prevailing attitude towards rail south of the state line.
I think the way Chicago looks at it, and incidentally the state of Illinois looks at it, they feel it is extremely important. And that is because Chicago is at the center of a corridor that goes east to Detroit and Toledo, to southwest down to St. Louis, also down to Champaign, and up to Milwaukee. And because they're at the center of it, they were behind a project called CREATE, which is a public-private partnership in conjunction with the freight railroads that takes the infrastructure and modernizes what we have now. And that in itself shows the commitment to regional development, because if there's gridlock on the railroad, there's going to be gridlock in the Chicago economy and also the state of Illinois. So yes, they feel it is very important.
Well, for the purposes of this Project Milwaukee series, we're viewing Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, Chicago as a region, as a continuous urban area or suburban area with many parts, of course. How do you think rail would factor into this? I mean, obviously, high-speed rail is not going to happen anytime soon. And do you think there has to be a rail component as western parts of Racine and Kenosha, Chicago, Milwaukee grow together?
Well, there should be, but it's going to be very difficult, because if highways are the chosen mode, the federal government funds basically 80% of that funding. If it's rail, then that's a different story. It's been very balkanized, because somehow the region through which the tracks go through have to pay for any improvements in those tracks. And that is why, incidentally, Metra stops at Kenosha, because that's a logical stopping point. I mean, they're in Wisconsin, but that was the historical end of Chicago and Northwestern's North Line. And so that's where they stay, even though when the Northwestern operated passenger service up until the beginning of Amtrak through April 30th of 1971, their trains did go to Milwaukee through Racine and Kenosha, and they were well patronized.
Is there a possibility of Metra extending up to Milwaukee? I know that's been discussed a while ago, but never since.
It's almost impossible unless there is funding provided by the counties, by Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha counties. And that's because the funding for Metra comes from Illinois counties. And they need for equipment, if they're going to run extra trains or a train up there, they will need somebody to help defray the cost of that train. Now, there's no reason why there shouldn't be a train that continues on from Kenosha. I mean, if the funding weren't an issue, from a marketing standpoint, there are people that live in Racine and Kenosha who work on the North Line, places like Waukegan, Lake Forest, Evanston, and of course downtown Chicago, but mainly the intermediate cities. They commute by auto right now. There shouldn't be a reason why a train wouldn't be viable there. And by viable, I don't mean make a profit or, you know, return its costs. I mean, provide mobility, which a lot of times that is the issue that gets very blurred in discussions with rail versus highways. But nevertheless, it costs money, and the counties the way this political structure is set up now, the counties of Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee would have to provide that funding for Metra to extend its service.
Hmm. Well, you used the word blur, and as I'm trying to wrap my head around what rail would mean for the growing together of all these areas, what form would that take? I mean, you mentioned something that I would consider just, you know, a standard commuter line, or do you think there should be other components to it, like express trains from downtowns to downtowns, or airport connections, or park and rides? I mean, these are all things that are part of the equation. They work for roads as well as rail. Do you think is it possible to have a rail system meet all these needs, or do you have to pick one mode and go with it?
Well, you should be able to mix modes, and in fact, that's been the funding problem nationally, is that they pick winners and losers in terms of transportation modes. And for example, the highway system in the United States got $43 billion last year, and Amtrak has had an investment of $38 billion over its entire 40-year life. Now, when it comes to the region, there's a lot of investment going on with public transportation down in northeastern Illinois, and a lot of that still suffers from lack of interconnectivity. The fact that Metra and the CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority, are separate agencies, they're supposed to work together, but there's no through ticketing system that works on both. There's no incentive for them to mix those. And I think that a planning group, well, the Metropolitan Planning Council of Northeastern Illinois has advocated those kind of interchangeabilities. But I think that, yes, definitely there's a lot of room for improvement there. And it should include southeastern Wisconsin as well. It's the same region. There are people that work in one state and live in another, and they should be able to get mutual benefits from doing so.
You know, recently I took a ride on the South Shore line, the electric line between downtown Chicago and South Bend, Indiana. Do you foresee something like that being a good use of rail? I mean, that line has been there for a very long time, but, you know, that serves many purposes. It's a kind of a medium distance line. It's a commuter line. It gets people to an airport and into downtown Chicago. And the day that I just randomly rode on it, I think it was a Tuesday, it was pretty crowded.
Well, there used to be a counterpart, and it was called the Chicago North Shore in Milwaukee. And I happened to ride the last train out of Milwaukee on January 21st, 1963. But that was before the federal government got involved in supporting public transit. So, yes, there is a need. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of that right-of-way has disappeared. Now, the chance of that coming back is basically nil. And that is because now we're dealing with land acquisition. A better alternative, however, would be to utilize both the lines that have passenger service into Chicago right now. And incidentally, as far as southeastern Wisconsin goes, there's a Northwest Metro line that currently ends at Harvard, Illinois, just south of the state line. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why that shouldn't be extended to Janesville, except for one reason. Janesville's in another state. Somebody would have to pay for it. The train is there. The express trains run to Harvard. There are people that live in Lake Geneva and Delavan and some of those southeastern Wisconsin communities. They drive to Harvard because their jobs are in Chicago, and they get on a fast Metra train. There's no reason why. The tracks are there. It would take some negotiation, some upgrading. But all of that is a real possibility if it weren't for the supposed anathema of, you know, extending passenger rail over state lines because the county that the train goes into has to pay for it. That's a real problem, and it's not going away in the foreseeable future, unfortunately.
What has to happen? I mean, does there need to be a regional planning commission? Can it happen without that kind of thing? Who actually needs to be in place to make these kinds of decisions?
Well, I think the federal government has to take the lead. They take the lead on highways, but what's happened is the state departments of transportation have built up, they've flexed their muscles in the highway side because they know there's this stream of funding. What the biggest crime that occurred when Governor Walker turned back $810 million was that there was so much planning that was done at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. They had brought themselves up to speed on what it takes to bid out these projects. And in fact, they actually had bid out these projects to build that line from Milwaukee to Madison. The crime was that was all gutted. So that expertise went out the window. And another, you know, I would say the major tragedy of what happened in Florida when Governor Rick Scott turned back over $2.2 billion worth of federal funding was that the person who has spearheaded the, you know, the high-speed rail in Florida, Nazi Haddad, who I've interviewed several times for Trains Magazine, he took a job in Qatar because they're investing in their infrastructure. So I think the biggest problem right now is the expertise, the institutional knowledge isn't there, and it's not going to be developed unless the federal government takes a role and says, look, interstate transportation is our job, it's our responsibility, and we have to take the lead. Unfortunately, that's not the way things are going right now.
How about public opinion? I mean, it probably comes as no surprise that a lot of people in Wisconsin don't really see rail as part of, you know, becoming connected to Chicago. And the flip side of that is, of course, people in Chicago, in the suburbs, where trains already exist, I mean, and they don't give it a second thought. I mean, it's just part of one of their options for getting to where they need to go. So as far as public perception goes, do you think that is... it's probably even a bigger battle if from a rail advocate standpoint to get people to want to have this kind of option.
Well, they don't want it if they don't know it. And that's why if you lived on the East Coast anywhere between Richmond and Portland, Maine, there are public transportation, passenger rail is an integral part of their knowledge. Even people between Chicago and Milwaukee, they have the knowledge that, you know, they don't give it a second thought. There was a business associate who went to one meeting in Wisconsin. This person is in real estate. They went to one meeting and the people there were saying, gee, I don't know about this high speed rail. This was right after Governor Walker said that he was going to turn back the money. She went to another meeting about a month later. And she drove from Chicago, and everybody at the meeting asked her, why didn't you take the train? So there is a knowledge. There's just a disconnect because if people don't use it, they feel it's not useful. And that is a very regional issue. California has one of the most extensively developed passenger rail systems. And that surprises a lot of people because, hey, this is the state that invented the freeway. Mm-hmm. But the people who use the train instead of I-5 between Los Angeles and San Diego or Santa Barbara and Los Angeles, they don't give it a second thought because they have frequency, they have new trains, and that's going to change the whole equation. Now, Wisconsin is getting some new trains. They're getting the same kind of trains that are used between Portland and Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, the Talgos. They are now just going to run between Chicago and Milwaukee. So that might be an opportunity to, with new equipment, to see, oh, gee, there might be something here for me. The fact that you can be productive during that hour and a half trip, you don't have to have your eyes glued to the road, and you know you're going to get there whether or not there's an accident on I-94 or not.
And, well, a huge part of this, of course, is money and financing. What is different about the way the Chicago area funds transportation and rail that makes it, undoubtedly more extensive and there are more options for people in the Chicago area for as far as public transit goes? What do you think is done differently there that they're not flush with cash, of course. They're having financial problems like everyone else. But what's different in that region that we would like to connect to anyway, that allows them to have some money or a little more say in raising money for public transit?
Well, you have to go back it's going to be difficult for people in Wisconsin to learn that lesson, because you have to remember that in the 1970s, when the federal government did make it possible for public investment into transit, that even at that time, it was too late to save the North Shore line. But Chicago had a very extensive commuter rail system. Their public transit system in Chicago and other cities is comparable to what's in Milwaukee right now. But I think the main issue there was that when the Regional Transit Authority was formed in Illinois, in the Northeast region, they realized how important it was to have mobility, and that mobility didn't mean, gee, you have to buy a car and drive. It meant you have to get from one place to another. The jury is still out whether people who are used to getting in their car and drive can make the connection that there is a different way to do it. And let's face it, the commuter rail doesn't solve all the problems. There are many, many jobs in the Chicago area that aren't accessible by commuter rail. Some of the reverse commuting has improved, but if there's something in a place where, let's say Oak Brook, for example, which is just west of Chicago, there's no commuter rail to Oak Brook. There are a lot of jobs in Oak Brook, and the Eisenhower Expressway going against the current of inbound traffic in the morning and outbound traffic at night, it is just impossible when you're doing a reverse commute. So those, even with the money that has, you know, been amassed by the Regional Transit Authority, those issues have not been solved.
Well, Bob, thank you for coming in. I know there's some interesting things going on with rail funding this summer congressionally, so I think we're going to have you back to talk about that.
Be happy to be here.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bob Johnston is a Chicago-based correspondent for Trains Magazine, published by Kalmbach and Waukesha. He spoke with Dan Harmon as part of our Project Milwaukee Southern Connections series. And that series continues with some perspective on the Port of Milwaukee next on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.